I have compassion on the crowd. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. There are a few errors which float around from time to time, and you see them even among traditionalists, but you see them manifesting themselves and taking hold of the mentality within our culture. And this error tends to hold that materially created things are evil, and so that any enjoyment in them is a sin, sometimes called Puritanism, Calvinism, and Jansenism, depending on where they're located and the particular twist that they have. These errors tend to hold that things such as tobacco products and alcohol are evil. But we know for a fact that they are not, for nothing created by God is evil in itself. But is the use of them evil? Well, no, they're not. We know that alcohol, or the use of alcohol, is not evil, because our Lord turned water into wine, not wine into water. If drinking would have been evil, Christ would not have provided the wine at the marriage of Cana. It is of divine revelation that wine has medicinal properties. As we read in 1 Timothy 5:23, do not still drink water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thy frequent infirmities. We also know that from modern science that alcohol has a variety of health benefits, so the consumption of alcohol in itself is not evil. While drinking as such is not a sin, therefore, drinking to excess is. Virtue lies in the mean, and the mean is relative to the individual. So how much one individual can drink is different than another individual. The mean with respect to alcohol is called sobriety, the virtue of sobriety, and the excess is called drunkenness. When one loses the use of reason by the consumption of alcohol, it is mortally sinful, because you can never put aside the use of reason without a grave reason. If it only slightly affects one's judgment, it is only venially sinful. But if it has no effect on one's judgment, then it's not sinful at all, and may even be commendable. In fact, you might even be able to get grace for drinking alcohol if you're doing it for a legitimate reason and you do it with a supernatural motive. But if it gravely affects one's judgment, then, again, it is mortal. Use of alcohol, even to the point of intoxication, however, may be permitted if there is a grave or proportionate reason. For example, they used to give in the examples in the moral manuals that if someone had to go through a painful surgery and the only thing that could deaden the pain a bit that was available was alcohol, then they could drink it to the point of intoxication in order to deaden the pain of the surgery, provided that the surgery is necessary. But if there's no proportionate reason, again, then it's mortally sinful. Caution is the integral part of prudence, in which a person has a certain healthy fear or a certain reserve in relationship to things that can cause us harm. And what happens is when people drink the first time to the point where they get drunk, that is, they don't take proper caution in relation to this, they sin against prudence. So that when they drink, when people are learning how to drink, they need to drink a little bit at a time until they figure out, okay, I've reached enough. This is why normally my own experience has been that parents who have their children drinking at home and moderate it, the children have less of a problem and have a different attitude towards alcohol than kids who don't. If they never let their kids drink alcohol at all, then it becomes a forbidden fruit for the kids, and when they go out, they get drunk and you have that problem. So the best thing to do is have the parents teach the child virtue in relationship to the alcohol. If one does not drink alcohol because one has a medical condition which alcohol will aggravate, there's no sin in that. There's nothing wrong with that. If one does not drink simply because one doesn't like the taste of alcohol, there's no sin in that, provided you don't need the health benefits. It may come to the point where the doctor says, look, I really think you should drink wine or something like that to help your particular condition, and you refuse to because you don't like the taste, that's a lack of temperance. If one does not drink because he thinks it's evil, then that person is in error. Persist in that error is a sin. So what about tobacco? Well, we also know that tobacco isn't evil either. First of all, there's social benefits to smoking, although I won't go into those too much now. But there are health benefits to smoking, despite the fact that there has been a systematic projection of tobacco products as evil by the media. There are, in fact, health benefits to smoking. A review of 61 studies suggests that smokers have a 60% lower risk of Parkinson's disease. Research suggests that nicotine is a surprisingly potent drug for a variety of diseases that afflict the brain, including Alzheimer's and Tourette's syndrome. So people who have Tourette's very often are told by their psychologist, take up smoking, and it'll tend to reduce the effects of the Tourette's. Nicotine can help focus attention, and it improves memory. Nicotine can relieve some symptoms of schizophrenia. So if you're suffering from schizophrenia, maybe you should take up smoking. Tobacco is used to make the malaria vaccine, and it can also prove a source of cheap therapies, and in lab tests, the tobacco plant produces a medicine used in Gaucher's disease, so it actually has that health benefit. Nicotine has a positive effect on ulcerated colitis, which is an inflammation of the stomach lining, and this disorder affects non-smokers, that is, ulcerated colitis affects non-smokers more than smokers. There are many other health benefits. If you go onto the internet, you can just type in the health benefits of smoking. If you have a search engine that has an exclusion line, put cessation in the exclusion line, and you will get several pages of the health benefits of smoking. There are many others, so there's many of them. There's something wrong with the culture when there's clear health benefits to smoking, and even when modern science shows it. You know there's something wrong with the culture when smoking becomes a moral sin, but fornication is a virtue. They've got everything inside out. Smoking as a good, however, requires a virtue by which it too is moderated. And it's moderated relative to the individual. George Byrne used to smoke 14 cigars a day and live to be 100. Others contract a smoking habit in a year, they have emphysema, and they're dead. So it's relative to the individual. They have to determine how much it affects them and whether the effect it has is positive or not. To smoke to excess is a sin against temperance. The church has never condemned smoking as sinful. That's one of the clear things we have to be clear. People say, oh, it's sinful. Well, the church has never condemned it, and if it was, then the church would condemn it. However, to smoke to the point where it adversely affects your health is sinful. If it adversely affects your health only slightly, then it's venial. But if it gets to the point where it's gravely affecting your health and you continue smoking, it's a mortal sin. Smoking addiction is a spiritual imperfection and must be overcome. The virtue lies in the ability to take or leave the smoking. If one does not smoke because one has a medical condition which smoking will aggravate, there's no sin in that. People shouldn't worry about it. If one does not like to smoke simply because he doesn't like the taste of it or various other the aesthetics or aesthetical aspects of it, there's no sin in that, provided you don't need the health benefits of smoking. If one does not smoke because he thinks it is evil, that person is in error, and to persist in that error is a sin. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen.